Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. Right on. So tonight we got our host, Mr. Huicho Medina.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everybody doing tonight?
Everybody's doing great. We're doing just great.
Right on.
Right on. So we got a special guest tonight. And we're going to read a little bit about our guest's bio and tell you a little bit about him. He's a guy that wants nothing but the best for his family. In fact, growing up, he grew up with a single mom, and his mom made him realize that she's just mentally strong. Mm-hmm. And his mother ingrained in him that everything he does, every decision he makes, was going to have an impact or determine his future.
Wow. I like that.
That's awesome. That's a great thing, man, that she ingrained that, you know, in you at a young age.
Yeah.
But also, when he was young, his mom used to watch a lot of real estate shows, right? Which is kind of cool. In fact, he says that that's probably what brainwashed him into liking real estate.
Really?
That's pretty
good. You got brainwashed.
He got brainwashed, man. But then, you know, he took that liking to real estate and started doing some research and found that the majority of millionaires were made through real estate.
Mm.
So after that research and found that, he jumped in the game.
Yeah.
He's now an active wholesaler.
Awesome. Awesome.
Right man. On, right on.
Yeah. It takes action, right? Action over perfection.
Action over perfection. All day long.
You know, it's you can have all the data in the world.
Yep.
You can have all the data, the best calculators, the best spreadsheets, the best of the best everything. But then if it's just archived, that's as good as it gets.
Then you have some great archived files.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really about it.
Yeah, right. So, you know, moving forward, as we always do here in our Live Life by Design podcast, we start off our episodes with, obviously, the bio, our guest, and, you know, one of the stronger things that one of my favorite parts of the podcast is their quote.
Right.
You know, their quote. Is I like to think of it as a tool that might have been utilized or is currently being utilized, but then a never expiring tool that you can always utilize when you get stuck, right? And,
oh,
and
yeah.
That's the beauty of quotes, man. And, you know, like I say all the time, experience never expires. So this quote, quoted by Tim Grover, put in this, what, two sentences? Three sentences. I mean, I don't know the structure of a sentence, but I see two commas in it. Can go forever and ever and ever. And this is very, very deep and applicable to every age bracket looking into entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Oh,
right? Yeah. So it says this. It reads like this. If you think the price of winning is too high, wait until you get the bill from regret. And that bill from regret is generational.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I got chills, man. Like, I feel that the top of my skull got cold for some reason. But that is a deep quote, man. And it's so real.
Yeah.
And sometimes we neglect the responsibility we have as individuals trying to structure something for our loved ones. Because if we say we do love, then we must prepare. Right? Love goes beyond the emotional side.
Yeah.
It goes into the intellectual side, into the logical side of life, and say, can I craft something for my loved ones so their generation is better than what I had to endure? This is fucking crazy, man. I mean,
it's the perfect quote to help. I mean, we talk about this all the time. You got to break the chains of where you came from and how you grew up, right? And this one right here is just, that's what it reads. It's all about that.
Absolutely.
It's the encouraging, you know, way of telling you, hey, you know what? Make a change. If you don't make a change, you're going to be stuck, you know, from how your parents were to now how you are today to now your kids are going to be the same way and their kids' kids because you didn't take action. I mean, that's some good stuff right there. In fact, I like the way it reads. Wait until you get the bill from regret. And a lot of motivational speakers kind of talk about that, right? Is that if you don't do something and you don't take action and you don't just get up and go, right?
Yeah.
You're going to regret it.
Right.
And they say that the pound from, you know, the weight from regret weighs much more than actually getting up and doing something.
Yeah. Right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Long term.
Yeah, yeah.
But without further ado, this is, you picked a great quote, man. I like that.
Appreciate
love it.
We got Mr. Leon with us tonight. Leon the wholesaler. That's what we're calling you now.
Yeah. Leon, I don't think I ever got your last name, man.
My last name is Whitlow. I'm named after Whitlow. My father, yeah.
Leon, yeah. So awesome, man. Nice to have you here.
Thank you
for being here with us tonight in this little crazy setup we get going on every here and now, right? Yeah. But why don't you expand more on what this quote means or what it's done for you and to you?
Well, me personally, when I grew up, like, regret is something that I never liked, you know. It's, you know, I'm 22 now, so this is something I wish I started, like, when I was younger. And, like, you know, looking at the past and realize, like, stuff that I was doing, and it's like, oh, I could have just did this when I was younger, and I could have, you know, been ahead mm-hmm. of everybody by now. That line just sits with me very well because I don't fear a lot of things. I fear God and regret because mm-hmm. understand, I've seen people who are older than me, younger than me, and then like people who are older than me, like when I used to work at these warehouse jobs, and they like regret not doing the things that they did when they're in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just don't want to be, you know, that old guy that's in like that warehouse just moving boxes and being like, man, I wish I did this when I was in my 20s. I didn't want to be that type of guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm, you know, what I'm hearing here is you've been able to listen to somebody else's experience. You've been able to listen. You put yourself in that position of listening and creating that awareness of, yeah, you know, you're just as human as I am. And if I don't do what I set myself to do, I might just end up in your position when you hang your gloves, you know?
Right? Exactly.
It's like, hell no. So kudos to that. You know, it's like that's awesome because a lot of people just live life, but not by design, obviously, right? And live life and everything flies over their head. And then they just assume everything's going to be okay in their golden years. I don't know.
I mean, and that's one of the things we always talk about here, right? Is you got to, you know, everybody has dreams, right? But if you don't have plans behind those dreams, it's not going to go anywhere, right? You can have your goals, the same thing, but no plans. Those are just dreams again, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that you're actually taking action in the business at and I'm going to say at a young age because you're, you know, a lot younger than I am, right? which is cool, right?
Yeah.
And you're jumping into this and actually taking action. Kudos to you, man, right? Hats off because just like Wicho was saying, man, people just live.
Yeah, no.
There's just no plan, you know? And then I'm going to throw my sail up and the wind's going to take me where it takes me.
And it's like you only have like one life. So it's like, why waste that? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got one life to live. So why would you just waste it on doing something that, you know, it's going to catch you up later on in life?
And But living the life that you're not happy with, you know, because so many people are just, I mean, there's statistics all over the place where people talk about they're not happy with the work they do. They're not happy with just their condition, their quality of life. Mm-hmm. But then nobody does anything about it. Right. It's just kind of a complaint. And then, oh, yeah, let me, I'll wake up again tomorrow and do the same shit all over again.
It was like we was talking about before the podcast. It was more of like a, you have to, you know, accept that everything that happens to you is your fault.
Right, right.
Yeah, you're responsible for anything that happens to you. Like, yeah. I was told, like, every single choice you make, mm-hmm. every single move you do mm-hmm. is going to, you know, it's going to affect you in the future.
Yeah.
So everything that you do from today, tomorrow, it's going to affect you no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I agree with that 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, man. You're 22, right?
Yeah.
So in the entrepreneur world, everybody wants to be an entrepreneur nowadays.
Yeah.
Right. That there's like this. I remember back in the days when I started in business 30 years ago, it wasn't hip.
It was, why are you leaving your job? Why are you leaving steady income? Right.
So now there's a shift in society or the mentality of the consumer, and everybody's riding that entrepreneur ride. I want to get into that. We just actually had a mastermind here last week about specifically that, but I'm not going to get into the details of that. But I'm curious. You mentioned you're an avid reader.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned that it's one of your favorite hobbies, as a matter of fact, right?
Yeah.
Did obviously that contributed to your entrepreneurial?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Journey.
Before I even started reading,
did you have that in you?
Yeah,
yeah,
I had it in me a lot. My grandmother, my dad's side of the family, she was an author herself, so she used to give me like her books, and I would read them. And then my dad was a very, you know, his reading was, you know, on top of it. So like he'd be reading books after books after books after books after books. And I wasn't, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, I don't want to read no books.
Yeah.
But then I got older, and, you know, life hit me. I was like, let me just pick this book right here and see if I can learn from this. And then once I learned from that one book, I just kept buying books, and I kept following, you know, the footsteps of my grandmother and my dad.
Got it.
Yeah.
So you said your grandma was an author?
Yeah.
And have you written anything yourself?
I was thinking about it. But
you're thinking about it?
Yeah, that's something I have to learn.
Is that something in the future that you want to, in your bucket list, that you might want to pay a tribute to grandma by maybe doing what she did? Or
yeah, of course.
Cause I mean, I'm thinking all this reading and all this, you're absorbing all this knowledge from different views, different books, different authors, right? Experiences and stuff. There's going to be a lot in there, right? In combination to the experience of, growing up around an author. And being the son of an avid reader, and now you becoming one,
yeah,
you got to do something with all that.
Yeah, right. I'm planning on doing something. I'm like 40 when I get done. You know, I get kids, a wife, and
yeah,
you know, I get everything together my whole life and just write down what I learned from my life that someone else can read and be like, okay, that's what he did with his life. So let me see what I can do now.
Yeah,
I think that's what books are. You just, you know, you read a book. And it's basically a perspective of the author's, you know, vision.
Yeah.
And then you see how they did it. And then
yep.
you choose if you want to go down that path or you could go down another path. It's like you get to choose what you could do with that,
right.
basically.
Right, right, right. So what made you choose real estate?
Yeah, my mom. She's watched those HGTV shows. And,
okay.
You know, I want to watch Spider-Man. I'm like, Mom, can we change the channel? She's like, no, we're going to watch this. You're going to do this in the future. I'm like, okay, cool.
Nice.
So I got brainwashed into it. Yeah. set me up.
That's cool.
Literally. That's really cool. Yeah.
Tell her thank you.
Yeah.
There you go. 100%.
Of course. She still watches those shows to this day.
Really? Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They're cool.
They are. But you know what? One of the things I always talk about those shows is that they always show the and we even say this, right?
The good angles.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The sexy part of it. Look, we got the house already. Look, we're going to fix it up. Oh, this is our budget. But they never talk about how they acquired the property.
Yeah.
What do they have to go through, right?
So let me jump in really quick. This is funny. We, before we went on air or recording, we were talking about the cons about the business, right?
Yeah.
And you're here listening to us. You're like, oh, my God, there's like there's a hard side to the business. Absolutely, yep. There is.
100%.
You know, is the TV shows tell you the upside.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, nobody ever tells you all the stuff you got to go through to get there.
Yeah.
Right? Cause it is, but that's the reality of it. Right.
Just like anything else.
It's tough, right? Yeah. It's not, how do we say it? It's simple, but not easy. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a process. You got to get through. You got to gain your knowledge, and you got to gain that experience, and then you move. You know, you move into the next step. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's cool though. You know, you got brainwashed into those shows. Yeah. Just remember, it's not that easy, right? You're not, the house just doesn't pop up.
Yeah, yeah, I learned that later
you gotta,
on.
You got to put some work into that. You know.
Yeah.
Right on. So, what made you get into wholesaling? Because I know overall you got into real estate because of your mom and everything, as you just mentioned. But what specifically made you want to jump into wholesaling?
To be honest, it was more of like of, you know, you could use, you know, less capital. You know, you could start off with $100, you know, for the earnest money. And I was just looking up like which real estate, you know, investing strategy works. I remember literally word for word. And I remember that day I was just typing. I was like, what real estate investing strategy works? And wholesaling popped up. I was like, okay, what's wholesaling? Went on YouTube, typed in how to wholesale. Just binge watched on videos, went to the gym, binge watched on those videos.
Right on.
So that's how I started off doing wholesaling, just watching YouTube videos.
Yeah. You know what, though? YouTube University works in a lot of ways, but then it doesn't.
Why? Yeah.
Here's why. You can gain the knowledge, but then if you don't have a community of people to bounce things off of, especially being new, right? Like we're talking the other day, you and I were talking about comps.
Yeah.
Right? And we're looking over comps and stuff. Now, you had a way of actually looking at your comps, and I was like, well, wait a minute, try it this way, right? And this is what we wanted, you know, this is a little more detailed. But if you weren't part of our community, the Become an Investor community, you wouldn't have had that conversation. You wouldn't have been a little more, you wouldn't have been that, you wouldn't have caught that other way of doing things, right? A little more finer details, right?
100%, yeah.
You know? So I think that's pretty cool. And I say this all the time, you know, we got a great community, strong community, right, with some knowledgeable people that can definitely help those that want to get in the business, right? But anyway, that's not about us. It's about you.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Running, the way you taught me how to run comps was way easier than what I was learning on YouTube. I was learning from here. I'm just grasping and grasping information. I'm like, okay, hopefully this is right. But at the same time, they're saying that's not right. But I'm going to go off what he said, but that other guru said that's not right. So I'm like, which one works? So I'm just basically just throwing darts at the wall and see which one sticks.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we solidified the strategy. We're ready to go.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I mean, so there is no perfect way of doing comps, right? There is no perfect way. Everybody's going to teach you what works for them.
Yep.
YouTube is great. Nothing against YouTube, right? They have a lot of good information in it. The missing component, Google, YouTube, Facebook, all this good stuff. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, and you could call me old school. You can call me whatever, dinosaur, whatever you want to call me. There's nothing like the personal connection.
Yes.
There's absolutely nothing. You can have the best platforms on social media, YouTube, or all these other, you know, computer, whatever you got. I mean, obviously, I don't even have the proper verbiage. That's how much of a dinosaur I am in it. But there's nothing like this, that human interaction.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I feel a lot of these different programs, they don't intend to harm you. I genuinely think that their purpose is not to harm you or miseducate you. It's just that there's that absence. There's that missing spot where you could come and say, hey, you know what? Come here. Let's look at this.
Right.
Let's look specifically at your deal, specifically at your timing, at your mindset, at your circumstances surrounding the deal, because that makes a whole totally different comp. Make sense?
Yeah.
Versus a generalized view, which is okay. But that view is like freaking 200,000 feet up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's leaves you too far open to interpretation, right? In the sense of now you can't, you know, oh, I think this is what they meant by that. But I can't call up and ask, or I can't reach over and be like, hey, Weecho, what does this mean? Because nobody's around, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's more of like you got to figure out by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at whose dime, right?
Yeah.
I mean, now you're going like, okay, now I got in a high risk business. Like, what? The whole purpose of a community is to minimize risk.
Exactly.
Right? Is to be able to have the ability to look at multiple deals with multiple eyes on it and minimize that risk, because I'm good at what I'm good at, but then I'm not good at what Steve is good at, and I'm not good at what you're good at. I can understand the basics of it, but it doesn't mean that I've intentionally focused my energy or my intention to be good at what you're good at. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know? So in the community, you know, we were just talking the other day, Campos, about you not being creative.
Yeah.
And we said, that's absolutely perfect. Not because I'm creative and he's not creative doesn't mean we can't work together. As a matter of fact, that's a match made in heaven. Because the creativity can absorb you in a way that you miss some of the logical views, right? Some of the technical sides of the business.
Yep.
If you know, it's like if you have fear of speech and you're going to go talk to 50 people, 100 people on stage, and you shadow somebody that has the same fears as you, everybody's just gonna be staring at you like, what are you guys gonna talk about? You know? So what do you wanna do? You wanna compliment what you're missing. You wanna go and lean on somebody's credibility. You wanna lean on somebody's experience. You wanna lean on somebody's resources, abilities, skills, mindset, views, personality.
Yep.
Right? All these different things. And then say, oh my God, I found one little thing today on how I can improve my speaking skills. Oh my God, I found one tiny stupid thing that I oversaw for the last year in where I could become a better person as a wholesaler because I do comps better now. Well, guess what? That little tiny, the tiniest thing, like the seed of the mustard seed, yeah, right? Yeah. Like that little.
Yeah.
That could transfer to 20, 30, 40, 50 grand.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all in the business for the money. Let's just fucking get right to it, right? Everybody wants to make money in the business. It's not a hobby.
Nope.
We're not doing it for a hobby, right?
No.
I'm pretty sure you're not picking up all those books. You said the books are a hobby, but the intention in what you're reading, because you could be reading science fiction. You could be reading comics. You could be reading fucking books from Mars. But you're intentionally reading business, entrepreneur books. Why? Because you want to get into that field. Right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's. I think I went on this fucking rant.
You did.
It's all right to me. I'm learning.
At the same time, you know, it all equates to who do you want to be? And who should you go by and connect with? Right? It applies to everybody. Here, you've been here, what, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
And you've already fine-tuned how you comp?
Yeah.
That's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Now when you get into negotiations and walking properties and viewing properties from a skilled eye, understanding the different aspects of, you know, getting away from that 250,000 foot view into, wow, this address, this person, this circumstance. You know, that's the power of the community.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's key.
It's key, man.
And again, you know, there's nothing like having, that, just kind of what you were talking about, you're listing off the five currencies, you know, the knowledge, that credibility or credit, the, you know, overall. God, I'm blanking here. The money, time, and somebody else's resources for that matter, right? So, I mean, having that community, you can leverage what you don't have. You know what I mean? And that's where the growth is. Because you starting out not knowing how to run comps, and then we talked a little bit about, you know, we did some role-playing and such, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you marbles in the mouth and you're all over the place. And now that's what we're working on, right? And at the end of the day, what I'm getting at is you have somebody who just likes to talk. And you have somebody who's been there who, right now, I had a bad habit when I would do presentations and everything. Remember, every other sentence, every other word was, but I had to get over that. It was uncomfort that I was in. And I just kind of, you know, leaned in my comfort zone with, like fillers, right?
Yeah.
And then I, self-awareness, I heard it. And then my partners were like, oh dude, you gotta cut that shit out, you know?
I counted them.
Yeah, I think you did one time. Yeah.
Just have it on the board just there every time. For he real? Says, just mark it down.
Well, they actually do that for you at Toastmasters.
Yeah, yeah.
They count the hays and fact, the hums and the...
When I went to Toastmasters, I had already cleared that up, and thank God, because they're not easy on you. They're not going to tell you.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's okay, Steve. You know, like, no, you did this like 25 times. You need to
yeah.
that shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, you know, it was uncomfortable. Right. But I had to build that comfort level. Right. And then you move into the next step of being uncomfortable. But that's where you grow. That's how you grow. Right. And having people behind you to kind of push you into that that growth. It's priceless.
Yeah.
You know, it's priceless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. It's pretty cool.
So how's your experience been in wholesaling before? Like what have you done? Were you just kind of getting in? Where were you at with that?
So I started my LLC in November of last year, 2023. And then I started learning about the whole game in November. Then I decided cold calling in December. And I was calling and calling and calling. And basically I was told that California was saturated. So I was like, okay, let me go virtually. So let me go to other states and do
Who
it.
Who told you California was saturated?
A bunch of gurus on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think?
Because it was like, oh, YouTube is a hot, I mean, about YouTube, California is a hot market, and it's a bunch of, you know, investors and realtors, and it's going to be hard for you to make money out there, so you got to go out there and do virtual wholesaling. They always push like virtual wholesaling, virtual. And they're like, go to Texas, go to Pittsburgh, go to Atlanta, right. go to these different countries and states, and it's like, okay, I'll do that. So I actually landed a deal in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But it didn't go through because I failed to find an end buyer. And I failed to find a title company because, you know, it's virtual. I can't go out there and touch the land. I can't go out there and talk to a title company myself. So that deal went to complete, you know, shit. To be honest with you. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting. Everybody pushes the virtual side of the business because that's what they have to offer, man. And it's cool, right? It works for them.
That's what I'm going to say. Whatever works for them.
Yeah, it works for them, but it doesn't work for the student, for the consumer, for the person trying to make their business work in wholesaling, right?
Particularly starting out, though.
Starting out. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, and is this wood? Like, right. It looks like wood, right
there.
Yeah.
I was just having a conversation with a student from another group on my way over here. And I told her, you know, it's like, I don't think I'll ever leave California. I don't think I'll ever leave. And I don't think my business will ever leave California.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
And she said, why? And I told her, this was my exact answer. I said, when you learn how to buy, the state or the market don't matter. They just don't matter, right? There's two variables in the industry. You can go to every guru. I don't care who you go to. There's two things that change in the industry. And that's only the industry itself through the cycles and the individual trying to get into the industry. That's it. Nothing else changes. The rest is just data and numbers, right? So I look at California, and then I do get kind of distracted a little about, oh, I should go look into Texas because everybody's going over there. Or I should go look into Arizona because it's booming.
That was the main one they was pushing with Arizona and Texas, man.
Yeah, you know, but then I said, oh, man, no.
Ohio was hot for a minute, too.
Yeah. Remember
we had a couple of community members that bought in Ohio.
Right.
Man. Yeah.
And yeah, yeah, true. True that. But the thing is, for me, again, old school, my mentality, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know, it's been working for me in California. I don't see myself going outside of California. For many, many, many reasons. But the key is you have to learn how to buy.
100%.
You have to learn how to buy. And the state doesn't matter. If you can buy in California with the creative strategies, you can buy in any other state. I don't care where you go, right? And I don't know. I don't find a reason why to skip town if I could do it at home.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Sure.
You
know?
Yeah.
I mean, not saying that there's not opportunity out there.
Right.
But the very core of the business, if you find a guru or a mentor or a coach that has vested interest in your success, he or she's going to tell you, farm your area. Farm your backyard. Understand your neighborhood.
They're in that market.
Why the hell would they send you fucking Montana if you don't even know the terminology?
True.
Right?
That's why I say that out-of-state stuff, it works for a lot of people, but particularly when you're first starting out, you gotta bring it home, right? In my mind, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think that
you gotta look at the property.
Yeah, you have to, because you know there's that saying, right? If home field advantage, right? You know your area, you know the market, you understand what things kind of sell for in that area. You kind of get an idea of what the buyers are like. You can just kind of look around in the area that you live in, and you get a feel for, okay, what the demographics are, right? You can't do that out of state. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you can read about it, but to me, there's nothing like boots on the ground, seeing that property, understanding what the issues are with the property, and being able to write that contract based on what you see and what you know versus what
somebody else's view.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Do you know where some of the biggest inventions in the world were born?
Was it California?
No. Everywhere in the world.
Oh.
You know where? Nope. Somebody's garage.
Oh, yeah. You're talking like a specific state or something.
Yeah, no. Country. In somebody's garage, some of the biggest inventions.
Oh, yeah.
Stemmed off of somebody working their hobbies in their garage.
Amazon,
Apple,
yeah. Microsoft. I mean, those are the big three companies right now.
And isn't that home?
Yeah, it's home.
Right?
Yeah.
See, I have one thing. I've had a bunch of businesses, and in all the time I've been in business, I've had, fuck, man, we were talking about this the other day. We were like 16 or 17 different successful businesses that I've been part of. Been either a partner in them or the vast majority of them I created from scratch. And one thing that I noticed a pattern in me in the way I exited businesses, and I didn't need anything else, and it always worked. I would look at my industry, and when the big guys were leaving, I'm like, it's time to pack my shit, man.
Right?
Like if the big guys were, I mean, big guys leaving an industry only meant that they had more resources to look further ahead, more capable people, more data, more everything to look further ahead and see that curve drop. And they're like, get out of here.
Time to go.
Yeah, true.
And then I would do that. And I would always exit safely. All the time, dude. I kid you not. And there's friends of mine, colleagues, that I would beg them, dude, drop it. Like, drop this shit. It's going to take a shit. And I'm like, no, you know, you don't want us to succeed. All that, negative, you know, they always took it on a negative context. And then they would lose everything. I'm like, dummies, like, I just told you what I saw. It's not something somebody came from heaven and told me, or like from outer space. I didn't have this dream. It's like, everybody's doing it. Just get out. Right. But it goes back to this. If you want to be good at the business, farm your area. Understand your area. The same variables in your neighborhood are cross country. There's people and there's sticks, windows, and drywall.
Yep. 100% and circumstances tied to those sticks, windows, and drywall.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So fix and flip. Did you ever get into fix and flip?
No, just wholesaling. That's something I want to do later on. Like, whether I get done doing wholesaling, I want to advance to fix and flip and then buy and hold.
Wait, did you say done wholesaling?
No. No, just I want to start off doing wholesaling. Then when I want to advance to fix and flips, because, you know, them HGTV shows, you know, that's what my mom used to watch. Gotcha. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I know what that is. So
Don't ever take your tools off and put them on the shelf and don't use them again. You know what I mean? When you say I'm done with them, it's like, no, you can't be done. You know,
yeah.
You still use that tool because there's always opportunities for you to leverage and grab that tool and use it to make some money. Right?
Gotcha. Yeah.
I wholesale all day long, you know, particularly because I know there's certain things I know the numbers don't match up. But hey, you know what? I could take this and I could sell that for somebody else, make a good profit on it. You know? So, yeah, don't think that you're ever going to be done with this. It's just another phase that you'll get into. Right. But yeah, kind of. Want to make sure, like, no, don't say that.
Gotcha. Yeah. So wholesaling seems to be like an entry level for enthusiasts and people looking to get into the business. You know, because everybody designed it this way where they say you need no capital. Where technically you do, right? Maybe not as much as the individual doing the fix and flip. It doesn't have to be your capital. Some capital has to be involved.
Right.
Right. So they've designed or they marketed wholesaling as an entry level for people getting into real estate investing. In essence, it's just a strategy. It's just a tool. Like Ampuls was saying, you know, sometimes you sell yourself out of a deal. Right. And we were talking about this the other day. If us three are in a deal and Steve wants to fix and flip, but that doesn't apply to what you're looking for, you need cash now, then you sell your position. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then that's it. You cash out. You don't want to wait. You know, if Campo says, hey, you know what, Leon, we have this deal that we're working on. We're projecting 4 to 5 months for the rehab. Oh, shit, I can't wait 4 to 5 months. I need my money now. Okay, well, you have the option of selling your spot. Right? You wholesale yourself out of your position and cash your check. But you get your check now with no risks involved.
Yep.
Right? No, the timeline is let Campos take all the fucking risks. Let Campos wait for the end buyer whenever he shows up. Let Campos go and run with whatever the market's going to do, if it's going to shift or not. Let Campos endure all that. I want my check right now.
Yep.
Right? So it's a tool that could be applicable in various ways.
Yeah.
Right? Selling your position out. And technically you wholesaled. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So don't, yeah. Because I hear a lot of people say that. A lot of new people getting into the business, like, yeah, when I'm done with wholesaling, when I move on, like, no, you're always going to have that. It's just it's a tool. It's just another strategy that you want to, you know, you're going to always, at some point or another, you're going to come back to. Just right. Like when you decide to buy and hold, you're still, you might find an opportunity to continue to fix and flip.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just all about what the numbers look like and what the numbers tell you and what strategy you're going to be able to run with.
Right. Once you have a property under contract, you have a monetary interest in it. You can't just walk away from that. Or you could. Right? I mean, you could if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you, Leon, I appreciate that, man. I'm going to buy you a beer. And then you're like, oh, yeah, you know, like these fuckers got a deal over there at the 123 Main Street and I got drunk. No, you know, in this business, you have to understand, everybody has to understand that once the property is in contract, if you're part of the process, you have a monetary interest in the outcome of that. Whether it's an early outcome, you sell your position out, or you wait till the end, to the end buyer, you know?
But at the end of the day, right, risk, you're going to get paid based on that risk you take, though, right? So if you decide to wholesale off early, well, then that's going to be a much lower payout for you because, well, you didn't put up that much and you didn't take the risk like everybody else had to in that long-term hold that they had, you know what I mean, that 4 months that they had to put in, right? So that's what they want to be clear about, because there's some, the expectation wouldn't be that you're still a full partner anymore, right? Because you're not enduring the risk either. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you wholesale your part out, you get a little bit of a smaller check. But there's still capital to be made, right? There's you know, there's always opportunities in the real estate business to make something out of it, right? It's just about making sure you know and have the resources and the tools to be able to do so.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So what plans do you have moving forward, Leon? Tell me your next 6 months.
Next 6 months.
Or do you have a 3 month?
I would say I have like a 3 month, 6 month plan. But okay,
let's talk about that.
I would say be with you guys more so you guys can help me out.
Okay.
Throughout this journey.
Okay.
Learn how to be more confident, you know, when I'm talking to sellers.
Yep.
And buyers.
Yep.
And scale my business.
Okay.
And then that's technically it right now for okay. the plans.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's very... that's very real, very attainable. And we're going to help you achieve that, right? I said we in a group community setting, but I can almost, I can't say guarantee because I can't get you out of bed, right? I will never fucking get you out of bed. So the only variable in this is you, right? The market and then the individual. If you miss calls, if you miss appointments, if you miss property walkthroughs.
That's on me.
Yeah, that's totally. I mean, you said it yourself, you are guilty of your results, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you don't take the action, if you drop the ball, then you can't come back and say, hey, Weecho, what the fuck, man?
It's not your fault. It's my fault.
It's your fault.
Leon's
right?
fault.
Yeah. But everything you mentioned, for the record, right? Everything you mentioned is 100% attainable. We're going to help you create a buyer's list. We're going to help you with your verbiage, with your terminology, with your math. We're going to help you with your comps. Obviously, Compos has that in process, in progress right now. We're going to help you with your, we're going to role play and the scripts and all that and have that confidence that when you're talking to a potential seller, you're not dropping the ball. You're not missing the next link, right? As a matter of fact, you can go talk to the individual and already know as a peace of mind to give you that further confidence that you already have the missing link. All you need is a yes, right? Or the next link to the next step. Right. So, yeah, totally, man. We can totally get you across that line and have your very own buyer's list and walk you through the process. I'm going to tell you one thing, though. We're hands on. This is 100% hands on training, man. So we're going to have to hit the road a couple days here and there.
That's fine with me.
And do some legwork. OK, we're not going to give you we'll give you a password and access to education and all that good stuff. But I'm not going to give you a video and say, oh, yeah, look at you. If you want to speed up to minute 33, it'll tell you what to do tonight. No, you get in your fucking car and let's go do this. That's the way you learn in the business.
100%.
Let's go.
Right.
Yeah.
We are further always looking to expand. We are always looking for bigger, better talent. You never know, man. I mean, you're here for wholesaling. You could be somebody's next coach. You get it?
Yeah.
The impact of this, the impact this can have, not only of what you have planned that maybe isn't yet part of your plan, it's just in the making. But you have to grow with it. You have to be coachable. You have to be open-minded. And you have to be willing to endure a little bit of headaches and heartaches and pain and a bunch of no's, right? A bunch of no's that'll make you want to quit when you think you're the most prepared. But when you get that fucking yes, it'll change your life like crazy. It'll get your mindset to do things you've never imagined because you'll be introduced to a new possibility, a new result. And all you have to do is copy and paste again. Right?
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that right there was my, you know, relating to that story because that was me, you know. I got I attended a session on manufactured mobile homes here.
Right. We had it right here.
Yeah. Upstairs. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that coach was like, hey, you know what? Here's how simple it is, guys. I already gave you the blueprint. Copy, paste, go.
Right.
And I was like, I could do this, you know?
Yeah.
I could do this.
Yeah.
And bam, next morning I was up and I was out. I was just hitting all the mobile home parks.
Yep.
I hit like, shit, 80, 70, something like this freaking big number in 3 weeks just trying to get out there. I wanted to hit everything in the area mm-hmm. that I could. And then, all right, now that I did that, now what? Do it again, you know, and do it again. It took me a few months to get my first deal, but when I did, man, even when I think about it, I just get all like, you know, I get a little chill because it was such a cool thing. And everybody would say, because it was, I'm going to lie, it was frustrating to not get my first deal, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody would tell me, just get your first deal and you'll start building momentum and the rest will start to come. And I was like, no, you know, it's taking too long. And I think everybody feels like that when they first start out, right?
Yeah.
And you got to endure. And once you get past that that frustration, that pain, that letdown, and that all, you know, all the shit that plays in your head, and you just focus and just stay laser focused on where you want to go, and you get yourself through all the shit, bam, it comes, and it's just like, oh, my God. It's like the best thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get it again. And you get it again, and it's like, holy shit, this does work. But you have to be prepped for it. You got to prep yourself, and you got to be prepped for it here and here, right?
Yeah.
You got to be able to endure. You got to be able to endure because nothing's going to be given to you.
Yeah, your mentality is like, you know, just fuck it, just do it, but you're going to lose.
Yeah, nothing to lose, man. You're 22, man. I remember when I was 22, my mind was like, I can fuck this up 1,000 times. I'm not telling you to, right? But see, we have a couple of, like, I'm 44. Maybe I have up until my 50s or mid 50s to screw up. If I was testing shit. But you're young. You can, maybe you're not, maybe you want to be part of the investing world, but maybe that's not the end of you. Maybe that's just a vehicle to get you to that next step. Like you said earlier, you wouldn't even know where to start on how to get a book together. Well, maybe, just maybe, real estate investing lines you up with that next person in the next chapter of life, right?
Yeah.
And then the resources, maybe the finances, maybe you can blow that fucking book, make it a bestseller. Through the vehicle of real estate investing.
True.
You get it? Because this is a fucking 4x4 vehicle, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know? This is a 4x4 vehicle. This will get you through every terrain. As long as you know how to drive it.
Yeah.
Right? But then at 22, man, I'd be daring you to start drafting up where you're going to be at 30. Like, oh, man. I wonder what's happening in 3 to 6 months. Hell no. You know, you got to position yourself like, shit, when I'm 30, I'm going to be X, Y, and Z. Make money, not part of the equation. Okay. Don't do that to yourself. By the way, we won't know what money is then. The way shit is moving, we don't know what that'll be. I mean, we'll be maybe back to stones and bread and chickens and shit, you know, right? Who knows? Like the old time barter. We don't know anymore, right? Legit. But if you put yourself out so far, then your mind has to catch up with your body.
That's true. And I was taught when I was younger by my mother, she said that the words that you should not have in your vocabulary is can't and impossible. Because those two words will stop you from doing anything.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So let's close it up for tonight, man. What would you tell? I was gonna say kids, but no, I mean kids to me, right? But what would you tell guys of your age looking to get into real estate investing? If what was your biggest fear getting into it, and how did you overcome that?
Taking action. Once you learn the basics, just go out there, learn. You're gonna fuck up from time to time. You might get some 60 no's and 20 like fuck offs, and you're going to get that one yes. You could call 100 people, one of them going to say yes.
Yeah.
You call 1,000 people, one of those people are going to say yes. Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just, just do it.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on, like, man.
Right on.
Yeah. You got to do it, because it's like, you're 22 now. You're young. So you have all the time in the world. It's like, why would you blow that? Why blow your 20s? Don't play catch up in your 30s. Don't be that one guy that goes to bars like, man, back in, 2016, I used to be the big guy at the varsity. You don't want to be that guy. That's a sad life. You just want to build up your 20s, stay down, stay low, and then retire in your 30s. That's what you got to do as a young guy.
Dude, so that is not a sad life. That's a very fun life. But that's a futuristic view, though, because it ends up being sad. If you're driven and the part, if you're guided by the party and the long nights and all that, you're more prone to trouble,
right?
Than not.
The decisions you make.
And then when all the fucking arthritis hurts and shit, you can't do very much anymore. You're already like on your way out.
Yeah.
Bro. Yeah. It's like, you see those one guys and it's like, they're like 45, 50, like, man, when I was in high school, I used to be the big time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, well, what do you do now? It's like, oh, I don't do nothing no more. And it's like, really? That's it? And I just don't like that mentality. I just don't like seeing that.
You're talking about peaking in
high
school.
People, right? people who peak in high school.
Wow. I guess that's their thing. What I mean?
Everybody has different growth.
Exactly. I think at the end of the day, you just focus on what you're going after and be laser focused and don't let anything stop you. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get a lot of, not just the no's from the people, that you're trying to help in the business, right, from the wholesale perspective, but then you're going to got to let a lot of naysayers in your circle. Because you're going to go through it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell you, why do you keep doing this?
Yeah.
Why do you keep spending this time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Only because they wouldn't do it.
Exactly. And that's the only reason why they're going to knock it, because they're too scared to try to do it themselves.
True.
And so that's one of the things that I had to learn early on in this business was, don't let anybody tell you that you can't do this or that you should stop this, because you know what? Question is this: what are they doing?
Exactly.
Are they the guys that peaked in high school? Right?
Yeah.
And then they're going to tell you, you shouldn't go and better yourself and get to where you want to go in life? No.
And then sometimes, like, there's people who will support you, but once you do better than them, they'll pull you right back down. It's like, it's called like a crab in a barrel, where it's like the crabs are coming out the bucket and the crab keeps pulling the other crab down.
Crab mentality or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't be in that crab in that barrel no more.
Yeah, well, no. But that's the thing, you'll start to find, as you start to grow and you grow as a person, you're going to start to see, your circle's going to dwindle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would say this, somebody shared this with me one time, and I say this now all the time. I tell my son this all the time. I said, well, there's a reason why there's so many seats in a bus, but only two seats in a Lamborghini.
Mm.
Right?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So just know that you eventually, as you start to grow, and it's not even the business, but it's the personal growth.
Yeah.
You're going to start to see who's who, what's what in your circle, and who's helping you get to where you want to go, or who's side by side with you in helping, you know, in your journey, and then the ones that are just trying to hold you back. Naysay you. Ah, this guy's a fool. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what? Cut him. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do, right? But
no, you're right. Cut him off.
But no, cut him off.
If they're not part of your, you know, helping to helping you overall get to where you want to go.
Their liabilities.
Even with your habits, right? If you're doing stuff that's not helping you grow and get to where you want to go, stop doing it.
Yeah. 100%.
You know?
100%. Yeah. When I got in the business early on, I made a conscious decision. Very present. I still have it, man. I can still see where I was standing and what I was doing when I made this decision. And that was disconnect from everybody that would distract me from my goal. Even if it meant disconnecting from my family. And you know what I did? I lost my friends. I stopped hanging around with my cousins. I stopped going to family gatherings. And then I became successful. And then they said, how the fuck you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody sees the nope. sacrifice and all the other shit that you,
know,
you deal with.
But anyways, we can go on.
I know.
All night about why you should do things and then why you shouldn't do things. But at the very end, it's like Leon said, it's your fault.
100%.
You're guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to take responsibility.
100%. Yeah, we are all responsible for where we're at now.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Man. Leon, great having you, man. We should revisit this conversation in 6 months.
Of course.
Progress, right? Yeah. I know for a fact I'm going to be talking to a different Leon with some great stories, some great growth, and greater plans.
Yeah.
Right?
Looking forward to it.
Right on, dude.
There you go.
Thank you guys for having me.
So this day in August, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
We'll revisit this for sure. Well, right on, Leon. We appreciate you coming out. We appreciate you being on the podcast tonight. And for you out there listening, if you want to know what we do and how we do it, hit us up at info@becomeaninvestor.com. info@becomeaninvestor.com. Hit us up. You have any questions? You want to know what we do? Or you can hit us up on TikTok, Facebook, and becomeaninvestor.com. And don't forget, guys, smash those like buttons, man. You know we give you that good content. And share and like. We appreciate it. Have a good night.